Good evening. Good to see all of you, and hope you're doing well and had a good day and good week in the Lord. Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Genesis, if you would. We'll pray together and begin our study in just a moment, and we're trusting that the Lord will use this lesson tonight to encourage us and help us to be prepared to teach it on the Lord's day. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for the blessing of God this day, and we praise you for what you're doing. We thank you most of all for your wonderful word. And I pray that you'll help us tonight as we study it. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And give us understanding so that not only may we apply it to our own lives, but we can teach it to others also. And help us on the Lord's day in this way. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We begin our study tonight in Genesis chapter 37. The first words that we find about the life of Joseph. And we introduced the life of Joseph in the first lesson last Lord's day. And basically took the telescopic look at his life and quickly breezed through the main events. And now we back up. We come all the way back to the very beginning of the story again and take more of a microscopic look. And story by story, we'll deal with this man's life. It's very interesting how much emphasis is given to Joseph in Scripture. There are very few individuals in the Word of God that this much is written about. And the pastor has told us often as we study the Word of God that we should always find God's emphasis and emphasize what God is emphasizing. Well, God is emphasizing the life of Joseph on purpose, and there's so many wonderful things to be learned. Look at chapter 37 of Genesis and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him." Now these are the first words that are recorded about the life of Joseph. I'd like for you to mark two things. In verse 2, I'd like for you to circle the proper name Joseph. And this is the man that we're studying. Then I'd like for you to underline this phrase, being 17 years old. Pastor dedicated this particular book on the life of Joseph to the young people of our church. And his life is so applicable, of course, to young people because the story picks up here at 17 years of age. But it's applicable to all of us. Here's my question, though. What happened in the first 17 years of Joseph's life? There's so many things that we know about the life of Joseph. And we're not trying to make a point tonight from what is not said. That's not what I'm saying to you. But there were some events that took place in the 17 years leading up to this story that are very significant in his life. You have to remember that Joseph had a tremendous heritage. A tremendous heritage. Think about who his great-grandfather was and his grandfather and his father. Here's a young man who has tremendous privilege. His great-grandfather is Abraham. His grandfather is Isaac. His daddy is Jacob. I mean, he has grown up around people who know what it means to have faith in God. But their faith is not enough in his life. At some point, Joseph has to come to personal faith in his own life. He has to know who Jehovah God is. And so God brings some things into the life of Joseph. Not all of them good. Some of them, in fact, are very, very difficult to deal with. The most obvious things that we begin to think about are the dreams that he had. But I would say to you, from reading and studying this lesson, that we need to make the point to the folks we're teaching the Word of God to, that God not only used dreams in his life, he also used difficulties. God allowed at least three events in the early years of Joseph's life to shape and mold this young man's character. And once you find out what they are, it makes you understand why he responded in such faith the rest of his life. A pastor said in my hearing several years ago that one of the greatest things about the Christian life is developing a record of how God has led you and worked in your life. Because for the rest of your life, you can always look back and stir yourself up by way of remembrance and know the same God that worked in your life then is going to work in your life now. Well, that is exactly what we learn from this lesson. The title of this particular lesson is Strength Out of Sorrow. So what is this sorrow that he endures? I'd like for you to turn back one page in your Bible to Genesis chapter 35 and mark three verses, please. In verse number 8, the Bible says, "But Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died. And she was buried beneath Bethel under an oak, and the name of it was called Allon Bacuth." And I'd like for you to underline, Deborah died. Now, at first glance, this may seem very insignificant to you, but you need to know who Deborah is. Deborah is his grandmother's nurse, Rebekah's nurse. She has been with Rebekah ever since Rebekah came to be the bride. Remember the famous story. Deborah was with her. This is not just a nurse. This is a part of the family. Have you ever had someone that was not a blood relative, but they were extremely close to you? I mean, it was just as if you were blood relatives. That's exactly who Deborah is. It's almost like she's another grandmother for this young man, Joseph. And the Bible says, in the midst of great blessing in his family, in the middle of all of that, Deborah died. The second verse I'd like for you to mark, please, is in verse number 19, where the Bible says, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem." And I'd like for you to mark here that Rachel died. Now we're getting even closer to home because Rachel is Joseph's own mother. So now someone close to him dies, then his own mother dies. Then please look in verse number 29, where the Bible says, "And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days, and his sons Esau and Jacob buried him." And in verse 29, we should mark, Isaac gave up the ghost. Now his grandfather dies. So Deborah dies, his mother dies, his grandfather dies. What's going on in the middle of all of this? Well, what do you think's going on in a teenage boy's mind? In a very short space of time, he loses three of the people that are dearer to him than anybody on earth all at one time. Why? God brings sorrow into Joseph's life so that he can bring strength out of that sorrow. Where does our strength come from? Our strength comes from the Lord. And we only understand His strength when we encounter our own weakness. And God brings Joseph, no doubt, to the end of himself at a very weak time in his life to teach him several great truths. Why does sorrow come? Why does suffering come? Well, there are a number of reasons. Suffering can come because of sin. I think all of us are apt to say about anybody that suffers, it must be because of sin. Remember Job's friends? It must be they've done something wrong. That's not always the case. Sometimes it is. The Bible says in the book of Galatians that what a man sows, that will he also reap. It is possible that a man reaps what he's sown in his own life in some means of suffering or sorrow. But that's not always the case. Sometimes God allows sorrow to come so that we can comfort other people. The Apostle Paul said it this way, that we're able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Have you ever thought God's letting you go through something, not for your sake, but for somebody else's sake? And then sometimes suffering and sorrow comes just so it will break our own heart and give God an opportunity to teach us some things that otherwise we would never learn. The bottom line is this, there are some things that come into a person's life that you can never explain. No amount of reasoning, no amount of understanding can ever pinpoint exactly why this thing happened to a good person or especially to a godly person. But the answer is always the same. God wants to use the sorrow and use the suffering to bring us to Himself. And that's exactly what He does in Joseph's life. What does He do? Three simple things that Pastor gives to us in the lesson this week I'd like for you to make note of. Number one, the strength that came out of sorrow caused Joseph to place the proper emphasis on life. So number one, make a note, it caused him to make the proper emphasis on life. We all grumble and complain. I grumble and complain. I find fault. I see the negative instead of the positive. We're all that way. We're human beings. And when God lets sorrow come into your life, He makes you realize how wonderful life truly is, that you're even alive. A living dog is better than a dead lion. As long as there's life, there is hope. And that's exactly what God teaches this young man, 17 years of age, to enjoy life. Let me ask you this. Are you enjoying your life? God designed the Christian life to be enjoyed. He did not just say, "I am come that they might have life." He said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." There is an abundant life. There is a joyful life. And the miracle of it all is that in the midst of sorrow, we can know that joy. Where does it come from? It comes from living consciously in the presence of God. And one of the things God dealt with me about and convicted me of is stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Be grateful for the days God does give us on earth. Be grateful you got up this morning. Be grateful you're breathing at this moment. It makes you stop and pause and put the right emphasis on life. The second thing it does is it caused Joseph, and it should cause us, to place the right emphasis on our loved ones. Joseph loses three people that are extremely close to him. There's no doubt in my mind that God used that in his life to make him realize how precious family and friends truly are. And when sorrow comes, it reminds us how good God has been to us to give us people who love us, who care for us, and that we're to care for. How many times someone has gone to the grave of a loved one only to think, I wish I had said, I wish I had done. And may God help all of us, including me, not to live a life that someday will be filled with regrets. If there's something you need to say, say it now. If there's something you need to do, do it now. If there's some expression of love you need to give, give it now. God's given us this moment in time, and then there is eternity. And this is a lesson that ought to strengthen the families of our local church. This is a lesson that ought to cause fathers want to spend more time with their children. It's a lesson that ought to make husbands and wives want to say, I love you, and truly mean it, and truly show care and concern. It's a lesson for the children, for the teenagers in our church, that ought to make them think, God gave me wonderful parents I should be grateful for. I should honor them. It helps us to place the right emphasis on our loved ones. But then thirdly, and this is without a doubt the most important, it makes us not only place the right emphasis on life and on our loved ones, but on the Lord. Without the Lord, our life and our loved ones do not mean what they ought to mean. When you get in the middle of sorrow, in the middle of great trouble, it makes you put the right emphasis on the Lord. This forced Joseph to think about life beyond death. Spurgeon said the way to make the most of your life is to meditate on your death. Because when you start thinking about the day that you're going to stand before the Lord, it causes you to make the most of every day and every hour that God gives you. And that did that in Joseph's life. This sorrow produced that in Joseph's life. But I think even more than that, even more than a future thing, it's a present thing. Joseph learned as a teenage boy, as a kid, that God was real, that God was present. And when Deborah was gone, and when mother was gone, and when grandfather was gone, God was there, the God who never leaves us and the God who never forsakes us. I'm convinced after studying this lesson and read the reading material this week that the pastor has given us, there are just so many good things given to us there. He quotes Dr. Robertson saying that there is no greatness in life apart from trouble born in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And we all have trouble. Man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. We all have trouble. We all have sorrow. But there's a strength that comes out of sorrow. And I'm convinced that when Joseph is sitting in the pit, he's thinking about the strength that came out of the sorrow. When he's sitting in the prison wondering if everybody's forgotten about him, he's thinking of the strength that came out of the sorrow. And let me draw your attention in closing to this memory verse this week. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28. Even in an Old Testament lesson, we should always make a beeline for Christ. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus speaks, and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And there are great burdens in life, but in the middle of the burdens, there is a loving Savior that says, I care about you, and I am close, and I know, and if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest in the midst of all that. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. It's good for all of us, because in our sorrow, we learn something about God's strength. Father, thank you for the life of Joseph. Thank you for what we're learning. Thank you for this wonderful truth. And Lord God, I pray that you'll help every one of us at this time and in the days to come when we need it most. Make the application to our own lives. In our own sorrow, help us to see and know and experience your strength as never before. Help us on the Lord's Day as we teach your word to your people. And I pray that you'll help all of us to place the right emphasis on our own life, on our loved ones, and most of all on you. And we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, and I want you to have a pen in hand and write some things down, would you please? Don't move this lesson material, because I'm going to talk about it. Very important. I'm sure glad all of you are here. I want you to think about our Sunday school time as the hub for many things, and may God help us here. I'm going to send out a letter to everyone this next week that's a part of our church family to talk about our Sunday school work for October, November, and the first Sunday in December. I want you to help me pray about that. I appreciate you praying for me. I have a pinched nerve and in my back, and that's what's causing the rest of the problem, and I'm on some medication supposed to give me some ease. The doctor said, you want any pain medicine? I told him no, foolishly. And I think I'm going to call him back and tell him I want some, you know, so I can give it to Evelyn so she can put up with me, right? But I haven't had any trouble like this in years, over 4 years, and I'd grown accustomed to not having it. So pray that this will vanish ASAP. He said about 72 hours, you know, those steroid things, those packs you take, supposed to help. So, and nobody get any idea to shoot me with it, just lame in one leg, because I'm supposed to get better, you know. So let's talk about a few things, and I want you to help me. We're going to make some transitions in our Sunday school. I'm going to move the class I teach out of here. Where's Mr. Rosser? I'm going to try to encourage Mr. Rosser and the group he's got to come in here and to fill this room up with senior citizens. Now, that's about three times what they have in attendance now. And I'm going to move to the gymnasium and try to help move some things around. That'll open up a little space over here. Another thing we have to do, the first or second week in November, we should be able to occupy a part of this building down here. And we need to start a Sunday school department, or maybe an entire Sunday school program with each of our divisions. We're still praying about that down there from 9:15 to 10:15. And I'm just praying about what to do. And I want you to help me pray about it. But I've been trying to encourage you to get more workers in here, bringing people from your class in here, because we need people who will be teaching classes. And we want to work at that. So let's do our best, all right? Try to encourage people who are enlisting. You're enlisting people to help you, and that'll be great. How many of you work with preschoolers? Would you raise your hand? You work with preschoolers? We have a preschool goal to reach an immediate goal of 1,000 preschoolers enrolled. We have 746 enrolled now. But I want us to break that down and get serious about it. And what is that, 254 more? And let's work at that. How many of you work with children? Would you raise your hands? All right. In our children's division, we have a goal to enroll 2,000 children. I'm not sure that the numbers are as accurate as they ought to be, because we have so many children ride our Sunday school buses. But we have 1,902 enrolled now. But I want 200 names and addresses of people that we can actually find and mail to in a children's division. By the way, Ken, I want you to stand up back there, will you please? I'll announce this to the church. Ken is going through some very serious tests, has a biopsy tomorrow. And I want you to write down Ken Godfrey's name. And it's a very, very serious thing. And they're doing a biopsy of a very serious organ and something they found. And just praying God will work through this and give him grace, and the most hopeful thing possible could come out of it. And he's asked that we pray for him. I want us to pray for him. I think a few of you know this already. But he will not know exactly what this is, though they have some idea, until they get that biopsy and get the results, which takes about a week. But it looks serious, and I want you to help him pray. And we're praying. Ken and Betty have stood with me shoulder to shoulder, day by day, every day I've been here. And these are people that have sterling testimonies in every way, who love God and lean on him, and two fine sons. And I want you to pray with me for them. But they've been working their children. They've influenced a lot of boys and girls, and my own two sons, too. We're praying for them. How many of you work with young people? Would you raise your hand? You work with teenagers? All right. We have an enrollment goal of 2,000, and we have 1,594 names and addresses of young people enrolled in our Sunday school in the youth division. How many of you work with adults? Would you raise your hands? All right. And we have 3,280 adults enrolled, and we have a goal to enroll 4,000. Now, we'll do better at getting that goal than any of the rest of them. I want us to work at it. And that's 720 new adults enrolled. Now, I'm going to explain to you how this works. We create the space and organize the structure before we ever reach the people. We're going to have the space. We have to pray that God will give us direction and people will have willingness to go to this building and be inconvenienced by parking and being shuttled, that type of thing, from one building to another. And you're going to love the building. There'll be a lot of wonderful things we can do down there. But we need to use that facility. How many of you will pray, you may leave your class here. You may leave teaching your class here to someone else. But how many of you will pray about going to the other campus and helping us establish a whole Sunday school work down there at a little different time frame and be willing to be parked, shuttled, and that type of thing? And really, you're going to get out earlier, and you're going to get to where you need to get to earlier. We've got 625 parking places down there now. We're going to have 825 when it's finished by the middle of November. And it'd be a shame. We're already using the parking lots. I don't know how many cars we parked down there. What are you, 400 maybe? Maybe not quite that many. What do you guess? But we need to use the parking lots, and we can bring you back and forth. You realize what it would cost us to buy and pave that much property? Astronomical figure. And so it really helps us use this property for other things, see? But this is our church, and it'll take a little getting used to, but people can do this. And we'll work at it, work together at it. How many of you will pray about helping us on that campus on Sunday morning and being shuttled back and forth? Would you raise your hand? You've thought about it? Very good. I'm going to ask you again a little bit, so a few days, so be thinking, praying about it. All right? Now, then we need, if we've got the space and got the workers, got the people trained, we need to go after them. And may God help us. All of us know that we're going to have to do something in that auditorium before we can ever build onto it or enlarge it. All of us know that, right? So people say to me, what are you going to do? Well, we can move people in here and have simultaneous services. We're going to reorganize the entire bus ministry coming in so that we have no large assembly. They meet all in classes, large classrooms. Instead of having one large service, we're going to have several smaller services, which will give more people an opportunity to serve, which will be better for the children also. So we have a service that's more geared just to that age group, which opens up that auditorium so that the Spanish-speaking can go into either in that auditorium or this auditorium during the same time we're having a church service. That may be one of the first things we do. And we're just praying about all of it. You know, we've done everything imaginable through these years trying to make room for people and having an early service and lots of other things. And I have to think about myself and what I can do too, you know. So you just pray with me about it. And I know the Lord will give us direction, and we're grateful for that. He's never failed us, and He's not going to start failing now. And we're truly grateful for it. But I want you to think with me about it, all right? Pray about it. Pray about these Sunday school goals. Now, let me talk to you a little bit about the Sunday school lesson. How many of you teach the lesson or perhaps would be willing to go out and teach a lesson? Let me ask first, how many of you teach the Bible lesson now in one of the Sunday school classes? Would you raise your hands all around? How many of you teach a lesson with children or whatever? You teach a lesson. Would you raise your hands? Okay, very good. Some of you may teach another age group. You may want a younger couples, or you may want a couples class or a men's class or ladies class, or you may want to teach the single adults. You may want to teach teens or children, whatever the case may be. But we need teachers. We need people who will study and teach and pray and work on it. And I want you to help us out. There are two or three classes, and I can tell you who they are. It doesn't take any sense really to figure out who they are. But there's a couple of classes here that go after every new person that comes in this church. Every new person that comes in this church, they go after them. And that's where they all wind up. Now, I'm not against that. I'm for it. But I wish everyone were doing that. I mean, it's pretty amazing to me that almost every new person gets to one or two classes. It tells you something about the leadership in those classes going after people aggressively. And but if we were all doing that type of thing, it'd be wonderful. And I want us to work at it. And may God help us to work at it. How many of you picked up the teacher's guide? Would you raise your hands? All right. How many of you teach the Bible lesson to this group that studies the book of Joseph, I mean the book of Genesis, the life of Joseph, and you didn't get it? Would you raise your hands back to the back, and you didn't get it? All right, would you pick it up, please? Make sure you have it in your hand. I want you to look with me about something. I'm going to give you a few little clues here to help you with some things. This is to help the teacher. There's a table of contents, introduction to the teacher's guide, and a lot of this material you've seen in the past to help you teach. Then I want you to find the page that says goals for this series. Goals for this series. When you find that, raise your hand, would you please? If you haven't found it, try to find it. We'll talk about it. Goals for this series. Now, if you find it, would you raise your hand? Still waiting. Good. All around? Who hasn't found it? Someone show them where it is. Okay? All right, Mr. Hooks has it. If he has it, we've all got it. All right, so good. You got it here, goals for this series. All right, to learn to remove all secondary causes and to see the Lord in every circumstance in life. To keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus and to dwell on His blessings and not our burdens. To understand that the Lord is always with His children and to rejoice in His sweet presence. To learn to forgive others even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven us. To be thankful to the Lord for the precious moments He gives us in life. To have faith in the promises of God, knowing that God will keep His word. Now, those are things we need to talk about and be involved in every week. Last week we had a Bible lesson on God meant it unto good. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Let's turn to the second lesson that Mr. Paulie went over. It says, strength out of sorrow. Okay? How many of you are there? Listen to strength out of sorrow. Preparation for questions. How many of you see that? Got your hand up?